Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Thursday, January the 5th. And today we're going to do Dallas-Fort Worth sports with our good friends David Busby and Carlos Torres. We're going to look at these NFL games coming up on the weekend. We're going to make some predictions about those games. And then, of course, look ahead to the Cowboys, who would the Cowboys like to play in the second round. We'll do a brief tour of the Dallas Stars, the Mavericks, the Rangers, who are in the offseason, of course, but they're negotiating and trying to get some players as we speak. And then we're going to take a quick look at the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame vote that comes up in a couple of weeks. I've got some candidates that I like to see get into the Hall of Fame. But we begin tonight by saying happy number 69 to Charlie Huff, one of the great pitchers of the 1980s, really an amazing career when you think how bad some of those teams were that he played for with the Rangers, and yet he was able to win 139 games in 13 seasons with the Rangers. Just absolutely great, consistent, reliable pitcher. And then in 1920, Babe Ruth on this day was sold to the Yankees, and that was the beginning of what came to be known as the curse of the Bambino. So Babe Ruth in 1920, and happy number 69 to Charlie Huff, who was just an absolutely fantastic pitcher. Let me say hello. I think we get to say hello to David Busby first today. How are you, David?
I'm doing good tonight for this cold, weird Texas day.
That's exactly right. It is kind of cold tonight. How are you, Carlos? You getting ready for the Los Reyes?
Yes, I am. It's going to be looking forward to it. It's just a shame they have to come this far and be in the cold, but I know my little girl's excited about it, and so are we.
That's right. No, it was I grew up that way, so I know how excited we used to get the night before. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the NFL playoffs. In fact, we're going to get to that right away. But any reaction to what I said about Charlie Huff? You know, I thought in the 1980s, you know, when I moved to Texas, the Rangers did not have very good teams, but yet Charlie Huff was out there every fourth night and giving you a lot of innings and pitching a lot of games. And if you look at his record, he was really the best pitcher the Rangers had, Carlos.
Yeah, I saw Charlie Huff pitch live in front of me many, many times, and he was one of those bright spots of the Rangers, that knuckleball. I mean, it was funny seeing people like, Jose Canseco swing way ahead of it and the ball still hadn't passed by. Or, you know, sometimes you see somebody, like a Trammell getting up there, and Trammell was good, you know, always a bat, but, you know, he was like, pick the spot where he knew the ball was going to come, and you see that knuckleball just drop right down. Gino Petrolli pick it up and throw it back to him. And, you know, he was awesome to watch.
He really was. He was really a fantastic pitcher. David, any memories of Charlie Huff?
I've got quite a few memories of him. I mean, he was always notorious and known for that wicked knuckleball. And, I mean, those that are born a little bit later will kind of refer or kind of compare him with Tim Wakefield as another knuckleballer. But I didn't even know what a knuckleball was until, you know, I really got to watch Charlie Huff and see his pitching and really understand baseball and pitching and all that. So he was one of those that I kind of grew up watching and learning the game from.
Right. Well, I remember several times we went to opening day in the 1980s. It was opening night back then. And Charlie Huff would be the opening day pitcher. And one night I remember he pitched the 4-0 shutout. Another night he pitched real well as well. So he was really the best pitcher the Rangers had in the 1980s at a time when, frankly, they didn't have very good teams. By the time they got good teams, Charlie Huff, you know, was already out of the game, but I just have great memories of him. Well, let's talk a little bit about the NFL. There's four big games coming up this weekend, and I wanted to get your predictions on these four games, and then we'll talk about how it'll impact the Cowboys. let's take a look at the first game, Raiders versus Texans. I'm going to go with Texans on this one. David?
I mean, the Texans are a good team to, you know, go with. But, I mean, especially with, you know, their car out. I mean, they just kind of split. So I would think with that drastic injury to Oakland that I think Houston could pull this one out.
Yeah. How about you, Carlos? Who do you see between the Raiders and the Texans?
You know what? If the Raiders, if their quarterback hadn't broken his leg, I think it was, I'd say Raiders all the way. But, you know, I was looking at the head-to-head, and, I mean, they're 1-1 against each other. I'm going to pick Houston, too. I just, without the quarterback, the Raiders are an okay team, so.
Yeah, so the three of us picked Houston then. The next game, I think, could very well be the best game of the weekend and one of the very best games of the season altogether. Giants at Green Bay or Packers. I'm going to pick the Packers, but it's going to be I think it's going to be a great game. It'll go down to the very end, but I'm going to pick the Packers because Aaron Rodgers right now is really hot. So I'll take the Packers. How about you, David?
I mean, it's tough to get a win in Lambeau. I know the Cowboys just destroyed the Packers when they were there. But, I mean, with the cold and everything, the Packers are known for it. I know New York is, you know, they play in the cold as well. But there's just some kind of magic when it comes to Lambeau and playoffs with the Packers that I think the Packers can take out the Giants, which I would be for being a Cowboys fan. I don't want the Cowboys to meet up with the Giants.
Okay. How about you, Carlos? Who do you pick between the Giants and the Packers?
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to pick the team that I don't want to pick. you know, either team is trouble, but the Giants have been hot here lately. They've been playing really, really hard. And Aaron Rodgers and Lambeau Field in January, you know, he's usually money. He's getting up there. And but just the Giants, like I was telling a coworker at work today, the Giants scare me. They're the team that scares me the most. So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to pick the Giants on this one.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about this game is that you've got two quarterbacks who have won, each has won two Super Bowls. So you've got some really good quarterbacks. All right, so let's go to the third game on the list, Dolphins at the Steelers. I'm going to go with Steelers. I think this is a bit of a mismatch, frankly, for me, so I'm going to pick the Steelers. How about you, David?
Well, Sylvia, I think we're just kind of on the same boat this whole time right now. I think it's going to end up being Pittsburgh and just the history they have. You got Big Ben going strong as well.
Yeah, I just think that this is, to me, this is, of all the four games, this is, I think, the biggest mismatch of all. How about you, Carlos? Two votes for the Steelers. How about you?
Yeah, it's going to be three. The Steelers have been playing hot here lately. They're getting healthy, and they're looking good. They're looking like a tough team, so I'm going to have to go with the Steelers.
All right, so then that takes us to the other game, which is the Lions at Seahawks. I'm going to take the Seahawks just because they play so well in Seattle. But if there's an upset this week, I think it'll be the Lions. I just think the Lions are playing very well, but I'm going to pick the Seahawks. How about you, David?
That one, it's kind of tough with that one. I think that one, they could go either way. But, I mean, you've got a good point that Seattle does really well at home. If it was the other way around that, you know, Seattle was visiting, I would feel much stronger that Detroit because Seattle just struggles so much at home. But with their history being at home, I think Seattle's going to take it.
Yeah. How about you, Carlos? Lions, Seahawks?
This one was the easiest one for me. This definitely Seattle.
Yeah.
You know, they know how to win in the playoffs, especially in the last couple of years. And they're tough. And, you know, their quarterback is Texas Rangers property. So, you know.
Yeah, you know, our future shortstop, right?
Exactly. But, you know, that Seattle, you know, that would be a tough game. And for the Cowboys, too. I mean, I think we could take them.
Yeah.
Took them over there. But, yeah, I think Seattle would take that one.
That would mean if our consensus is, I guess the three of us agree on the Seahawks, and it's 2-1 Giants, Packers versus Giants. So let's assume, for example, let's say the Seahawks win and the Packers win. David, who would the Cowboys play?
If the Seahawks win in Green Bay, then the Cowboys would be hosting the Green Bay Packers because they would get the lowest seed.
And if the Giants win, would they then be playing the Giants then? The Cowboys would be playing the Giants?
If Seattle still won and the Giants won, then they would be playing the Giants. The only way they would avoid playing the Giants or the Packers is if Detroit beat Seattle.
Okay.
Because for the sixth seed.
So the Cowboys are very likely going to be playing in the first round, then the Giants or the Packers. Is that right, David?
Correct.
Okay, so let's kick that around a little bit. The Cowboys are 12-2. They've had a great season. But, you know, I don't want to – you know, I'm not saying anything negative about the young quarterback. He's done a fabulous job, but this is, after all, the postseason. It's a little bit different. Packers versus Cowboys. How do you like that match, David?
I think it goes in the Cowboys' favor. I mean, we've got a young team. We're playing at home. We've got the home crowd behind us. We've got, you know, a quarterback who really doesn't even look like a rookie quarterback. He shrugs every news thing that's thrown his way. He doesn't even care what all the hype is. He just goes in, plays the game, reads the defense, listens to his offensive coordinator, listens to his coaches. He sees the field. So there's no doubt that, you know, whether it's regular season or postseason, I think he's going to treat it just like another game. We're going to go out there and we're going to do our best. We're going to let everything out, and we're going to take it.
All right. So you feel pretty good, Cowboys versus Packers. How about you, Carlos? How do you feel, Cowboys versus Packers?
The Cowboys versus the Packers, I feel good about that one. Cowboys versus Seattle, that one should be good. The only one I don't like is Cowboys versus Giants. That's the only one that would give me fits.
Right, but that would be the one that, based on your prediction, that would be the game, though, right? Because you're predicting the Giants, so the Giants-Cowboys.
Well, no, if Seattle wins, we would play Seattle. The Giants have a better record.
Really? Okay. I thought the lead. Yeah. That's what I was thinking,
yeah, but,
too, David. So I think we play either Giants or Packers because the Giants were not a divisional winner. Seattle was a divisional winner. Yeah, so Seattle was a divisional winner, right, David? So that means that the Giants would then play. If the Giants win, they would play the Cowboys. And I think you're right, Carlos. That would be a tough match for them.
Because
the Falcons were divisional winners too, and they have a bye.
But right. Exactly.
If you look at records, I mean, Green Bay is 10-6, and the Giants are 11-5. So even though the Giants had the better record, they're still the wild card based on the Cowboys winning the division. So we can't go off record. We just have to go off the seed.
Exactly, yeah. That's right. No, you're exactly right. Now, one thing that I found very interesting, I was watching NFL, you know, the NFL channel this week, and trying to get a sense of what they were predicting, you know. And they're not predicting much for the Cowboys, at least the times that I saw it. I'm not saying that I saw everything, but the few times that I had it, you know, they were looking at the matchups, and one of them had the Giants and New England in the Super Bowl. Another one had the Packers and New England in the Super Bowl. Another one had the Falcons. I mean, it seemed like the Cowboys were the team that wasn't getting much respect, David, at least from these NFL experts on the NFL channel that I was watching, David.
I mean, the only thing they can, I would think they're basing it off of is just the lack of experience. We've got a rookie running back. We've got a rookie quarterback. I mean, we've got some young wideouts, and then, you know, our defense, you know, isn't the strongest, I would think, of all of some of the other teams. I know they've been cleaning it up as far as it goes, but that's the only thing I could think of that they could probably go against the Cowboys on, or probably those three things, is just the holes in the defense and then just the young quarterback and running back.
No, but that you're exactly right. That's exactly what they're basing it on, that they're looking at what they call the intangibles, and they think a rookie quarterback and is a negative. How about you, Carlos? Have you seen any of the national predictions? Because the ones I've seen are not showing the Cowboys even getting out of the first round, Carlos.
Well, you know, a good stat, something that I read earlier today, is that no rookie quarterback has ever won the Super Bowl. So, excuse me. I think that's what a lot of these people are basing it on. To me, as long as we don't play the Giants, we might be okay. I mean, but like David was saying earlier, you know, Dak doesn't play like your normal rookie. He's gone out there and plays with finesse, and I mean, he's smart as heck, and, you know, he's not your normal rookie quarterback. So, you know, based on percentages, it says we shouldn't, but every once in a while, you know, got to break that streak. So,
right.
If we don't play the Giants, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, the Cowboys have been defying conventional wisdom from day one. I mean, they weren't supposed to be 12-2 with a rookie quarterback. So I am predicting that the Cowboys will go to the Super Bowl. We'll talk about that in a future show when we get deeper in the playoffs. But I think if you're right though, Carlos, the Giants would be tough. But I also think the Packers would be very tough, because Aaron Rodgers is just like right now, he's on a really hot streak. I know we've got some limited time tonight, Carlos, so I just wanted to do a quick review of the Stars. If you could give me just your quick reaction of what's going on. I looked at the standings. They're 16, 15, 8 in the standings. Yep. They've got 40 points at the moment. If the season ended today, they wouldn't be in the postseason. So just each one of you guys, I know you follow the Stars a lot and go to the games. So each one of you, just give me a minute on what you think about the Stars, Carlos.
Well, it's been a roller coaster season. We'll lose three or four games in a row, and then we'll win one or two, and then tie, you know, go into overtime and lose. We had a nice three-game winning streak there, but unfortunately, I think we've only won twice in overtime and have lost 8, including last night. And, you know, the defense is not looking good. Goaltending is getting overtaxed because the defense is just letting teams. If you watch the game yesterday, it really seemed one-sided. It seemed like the ice was tilted one way, and it was really frustrating. But the guys fight hard. I mean, they scored, I think, with like 2 minutes left. And then just sure enough to tie it up, and then boom, you know, it seems like we can't make it.
Yeah, you're talking about the game they lost to the Canadians in overtime, right? The one last night.
Yep, last night. Yep.
Which is, 19 seconds in.
Yeah, that was a really frustrating. I mean, that was very frustrating to watch. I agree. I agree with you guys on that. David, your sense of these stars, and I'll ask you a little bit more than just your summary, but do you think they can get into the postseason? As I said, they've got 40 points. They're 11 points behind in their conference to get in. Do you think they can make it to number eight, David?
Well, the way they're going, I don't see it. I mean, just what Carlos was saying and everything about, you know, last night's game was right on the spot. I mean, you could even take that and carry it over into the Florida game. I mean, in 2016, I mean, it was you score three goals in the first period. They go on their first power play, scoring 8 seconds on their first power play for Florida. I mean, the Stars didn't even show up that game at all. I mean, they were lucky enough to come back and tie it against Montreal. I mean, they had some that hit the post where you think they could have gone in. I mean, Patrick Sharp could have easily, you know, gotten the game winner, but, you know, some loose pucks and misfortunes and all that. I mean, that's just part of hockey and everything, but I mean, they've got to clean it up if they want to make a run. They can't go on losing streaks and win a game or two here or there.
Right.
And you've got to put some winning combinations together. And
right.
And yeah, I mean, those goalies are getting taxed and getting worn out. And
Well, right now they've played, my calculation shows me they've played 39 games. So roughly halfway through the season. If maybe they can make an adjustment or so, make a trade or something, shake some things up, they would have to play very well in the second half to get into the postseason. So there's still some hope there for us Stars fans. Now, our other team, the Dallas Mavericks, there's not any hope there. They're 11-24. They're number 13 in the conference. So I just don't see them going anywhere. Actually, what I'm hoping for is that they really have a horrible year so they can get a good draft pick, David.
Yeah, I mean, what they needed, I mean, this season obviously is shot and everything. I mean, they're going to go out and give it everything they can, and I don't blame them. I mean, they want to, you know, do the right thing for their fans and try to win the games and stuff. But they've also got to look at the fact that Dirk's barely played most of this season. And if they can get an early draft pick, get someone that they can consider and look at for post Dirk Nowitzki, try to find someone that they can look at to start building around.
Right. Good point. Carlos, just a quick thought on the Mavericks.
Well, real quick, earlier you said the Stars were 11 points out of a playoff spot. They're only 2 points out of a playoff spot.
Oh, okay.
They have 40 points. Because when they had that three-game winning streak prior to the Florida, they were in. So they're close enough.
My fault then. I misread the number, yeah. But the Mavericks,
no problem.
The Mavericks are not very close to the post.
No, the Mavericks are not post for the next two seasons at least. I mean, listen, we all love Dirk. Dirk's a great guy. We thank Dirk, but it's time for him to retire, and it's time for Cuban to really, like to you, I think you said, build a team around somebody. We just got to pick up that somebody, and let's start building a team, and let's move forward.
Well, I'm just hoping they just win like 20 games this year and go 20-60 or something like that. And then that way they can draft a really good person and start building a future, because what Mark Cuban has been doing the last two or three seasons has not worked. And I think the fans are going to react in a very negative way if this team doesn't start not necessarily winning, but some direction. I mean, look, I have to give the Dallas Stars a lot of credit. A few years ago, they put themselves on a plan, and the plan has been pretty successful, you know. But the Mavericks need to do the same thing, and I'm sure that they can turn it around in a couple of years. But I know, Carlos, you're sort of limited on time, so I just want to take a quick look at the Baseball Hall of Fame vote coming up. Ivan Rodriguez is, in my opinion, going to get in. I think I don't see how he misses. But I've also got Mike Mussina, Curt Schilling, Billy Wagner, and Tim Raines. Those would be the people that I like to see get in this time. So, David, have you given much thought to the Hall of Fame vote? Do you agree with me that Ivan Rodriguez is getting in?
Well, looking at the 34 on the list, I think Pudge has a great shot at making it. With just the history with the Rangers he's had behind the plate, the success he had when he was with the Marlins, I think he's got a really good shot at being in on his first attempt.
Right. Carlos, any thoughts on not just Ivan, but anybody else that you think should get in?
I love Pudge. You know, I'm a big fan of Pudge, and I sure hope he gets in. I think we were talking earlier, Biggio, right? Who's been missed a couple years.
Not Biggio, Bagwell.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Bagwell.
Yeah, Biggio got in last year.
Right. Bagwell, I like to see him get in there. Tim Raines, I like Tim Raines. He's a good guy. So, yeah, most of the guys you said, I agree with.
Yeah. Well, the one guy that was on the list that I had honestly forgotten a little bit about was Billy Wagner. And then you look at his numbers and you go, my gosh, how isn't this guy in the Hall of Fame? I mean, just one of the top relievers. Curt Schilling also, 11-2 in the postseason. Mike Mussina was quite a pitcher. Now, Tim Raines, I think that he may have been, he was in the 70s, I know, and he played with Montreal.
80s.
When Montreal had really, in the 80s also, yeah. And when he also, he was a very good player with Montreal. At the end of his career, he ended up with the White Sox. But the bulk of his playing career was in Montreal. Yeah, when they had some incredible teams. You know, they had Andre Dawson and lots of great Gary Carter. And they had some really great players. And Tim Raines was the leadoff hitter. And he was really... We didn't get to see a lot of him, of course, because being an American League city. But, I mean, this Tim Raines was probably the best. He was like the Ricky Henderson of the National League. That's the best way I would describe him. Just a great player. And I'd love to see him get in.
I just saw the list. Edgar Martinez. That guy deserves to be in there. His eighth year. That's such a – you know, the Baseball Hall of Fame is just such an enigma. Just the way there's so much politicking and so much BS that they do, and sometimes they're hypocritical. I mean, we all know, you know, Bench should be there. You know, we got other people that have gotten in for worse things. You know,
you mean Pete Rose?
Pete Rose, sorry.
Yeah, because Bench is in, yeah. And of course, you have other names on that list that will probably never get in, but they've got the numbers. You know, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Palmeiro,
yeah.
Sammy Sosa, those guys have the numbers, but they're not getting in, I think, for a while. But, Carlos, I know you got to run. I want to thank you very much for joining us tonight. David and I will come back and just do a quick wrap up on the Rangers and maybe a little bit more on the Hall of Fame. But thank you again, as always, for joining us, Carlos. And we'll do this again a couple of times during the NFL playoffs. Cause I think the Cowboys are going a long time. They're going far. So we should have a lot to talk about, Carlos, but thank you very much and good night.
Yeah, thank you. And one more, Jorge Posada, talk about him because I'm a big fan of his.
And wishing
everybody that celebrates a Three Kings Day tomorrow, everyone have fun and enjoy. And everybody stay warm.
That's right.
Thanks for having me.
That's exactly. Thank you so much, Carlos. Exactly. The three wise men, that's the Catholic tradition the Spanish Catholic tradition that so many of us grew up in. We're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll talk more with David about the Rangers.
The Canto Group is a recruiting firm located in Dallas, Texas that specializes in the placement of executives and engineering professionals with companies throughout Texas. If your company is seeking quality candidates in the fields of general managers, plant managers, sales, CFOs or controllers with a manufacturing background, production manager supervisors, engineering specializing in mechanical, manufacturing, industrial, electrical, safety, or quality engineers or designer drafters, feel free to contact our team regarding your company's future or current openings. Contact Silvio Canto Jr., email thecantogroup at aol.com, or visit our website, thecantogroup.com.
Before we get back to David, I just wanted to highlight a couple of friends that I have on the show information. The first one says electricity rates. If you're shopping for residential electricity rates, and everybody's going to do that at some point, check out this website. You put in your zip code, and they'll give you a quote, and maybe we can save you some money. So check that out. Also, audible.com. If you don't have enough time to read, or you find that there's too many books and you just can't get around to reading all of them, listening to books is a pretty good alternative. We're not saying that you stop reading, but you can certainly enhance your contacts and your information with books by listening to some books. So audible.com and residential electricity rates. Check out my friends on the show information. Let's get back to David for a few minutes to wrap up our show tonight. David, the Rangers right now are talking to Mike Napoli and also to this pitcher from San Diego. I can't think of his first name, but his last name is Ross. R-O-S-S. I don't know much about him. I looked up some of his stats. When he was healthy, he was pretty good. So he may very well be the answer to a position in the starting rotation. What is your sense of these two guys or anybody else that you think maybe the Rangers ought to be looking at, David?
Well, with Tyson Ross, I mean, considering the Rangers have also been in the news about and showing interest in the White Sox pitcher, Jose Quintana, if I pronounce that correctly. But, I mean, between those two pitchers, I mean, I think the Rangers would be better off as far as finance-wise going with Tyson over Jose. But I mean, just looking at his numbers, I mean, he went 10-12 with a 3.26 ERA and 33 starts in 2015, struck out 212 batters over 196 innings, but also had a major league high in walks of 84 to his 212 batters. But, I mean, that's one thing that the Rangers have been trying to work on reducing are the number of walks. For that, but I mean, he would be a good addition to have at the Rangers based on just kind of the lack of starting pitching that we have based on our farm system. I mean, they've got a good farm system, it's just not the best that it's been since they worked a deal with Cole Hamels as well as. I can't think of some of the other teams.
Last year when they got Beltran, they gave up one of the top pitching
prospects.
When they went after Lucroy, they gave up their top center fielder prospect. So yes, you're right. It's a good farm system, but it's the talent is a little bit down at the Double A level at the moment. So they're a couple of years away. The reason that I like Ross is that it's a free agent signing, so he's not going to cost you a player, whereas Quintana would have to be a trade, and the White Sox are in a rebuilding mode, so they're going to want somebody good. They're going to want either Profar, and I get the feeling this club does not want to trade Profar or Gallo. I think they really want to go with what they have, which is why I think adding Napoli, David, would make so much sense, because Napoli would fit in beautifully financially as well as in the roster right now. You know, you can get him for a couple of years, and for a couple of years he can be backing up Gallo at first base or even getting some time at DH, David.
Yeah, but as far as DH, they're doing whatever they can to have Sinchoo Chu as the designated hitter. I mean, there's been talks of putting Profar over in left field and then having Gomez in center. And then trying to think who the, or they could put Rua out
Rua
in right
field. Field
they
yeah.
could move. I mean, they can move people around in the outfield.
Well, Mazzara would be the would be your left fielder, right? Or right fielder, right? Yeah, Mazzara would be a right fielder. Yeah. Rua, I think they're taking they're thinking more about first base. Yeah.
Yeah, Rua and Profar could probably see, you know, a share of left field with Gomez handling center field. And then at first, I mean, if you get Napoli, I think he would be, as far as finance-wise, a better bargain than trying to go after, like, Mike Trumbo, which I would prefer to have him over Napoli just because of the age difference and all that. And he's been able to produce season after season lately for the Orioles, but I know Napoli has a good reputation with the Rangers. He knows the organization. He knows how Bannister works and all that. But I think he could fit in well and just kind of plug into it, while with Trumbo it'd take a little bit for him to kind of get in, and no pun intended, into the swing of things.
Right.
For that. So I think there's more reason to go with Napoli than over Trumbo.
Well, Trumbo is going to Trumbo is going to require a 5-year deal, probably $100 million. I mean, Trumbo is going to be, he's at the moment right now where he's looking for the big contract. And again, I don't blame him for that. Whereas I think with Napoli, you're looking at 2 years. And I think in for 2 years, he could be a great insurance policy at first base. I can also see Napoli de-aging a little bit too against left-handers. So, I mean, I think Napoli is a very practical guy. You could probably get 25 home runs off of Napoli. And so, I mean, I think he brings a lot to the team, as well as you say, the experience. But I think Ross, the advantage of Ross is that he's a free agent and you don't have to give up any players to get him, at least not this year. I think you give up a draft choice or something later, but at least not this year. So you keep your roster pretty much intact and you're simply adding to it. The same with Napoli. You're just adding a player to the roster without having to give up anything, David.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be better to get, I mean, Ross has been in the news more than the White Sox pitchers anyways, because of that. There's more logical sense to go with Tyson than with the White Sox pitcher.
Absolutely, because again, the White Sox are they're just adding players right now, and they're in a mood. They just want a lot of young guys, so they're going to want to go into your farm system and take your best players, and I don't think that makes any sense. Well, David, as always, thank you for your time, and thank you for your thoughts tonight. And we'll do another show right before the Cowboys play again, and we'll see how everything stands at that time. But thank you so much for your time tonight, and have a wonderful evening.
Well, you too, and let's just stay warm, and hopefully the roads aren't bad tomorrow.
That's exactly right. We're in the process. Are they forecasting really a bad storm? I know they said some flurries.
They said flurries,
but
I think it's like 30%, which it's not going to really do anything as far as the roads. But, you know, it's Texas weather and Texas meteorologists,
right.
And anything can go.
That's right. No, you're exactly right. This morning there was a little ice on the windshield, so here in Texas, a little ice on the road can really mess things up. Well, thank you very much, David. Good night, and my best to your family.
Thank you. Good night.
All right. Thank you very much. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back for a closing thought right after this. Well, this is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Just to summarize a little bit our predictions for the NFL playoffs, we both, all three agreed that Houston would win. There was a split, two for the Packers, one for the Giants. We were unanimous with the Steelers and the Seahawks. So if our predictions turn out to be true, the Texans would play whoever they play, and the Steelers, I think, would play I think they play New England if they're the ones who win. So we'll see how that turns out. And, of course, if the Packers win, they're coming to Dallas, and then the Seahawks would play the Falcons. So the Packers could be a tough opponent. I mean, I still think the Cowboys are going to win, but I just think the Packers are going to be very tough at this moment because of the way they're playing. Aaron Rodgers is just having he gets hot like this. He did it the last time. Remember 2011, he got hot like this in the postseason, and he took them all the way to a Super Bowl victory right here in Dallas. So you got to always worry about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, especially when he gets hot like this. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Thanks to Carlos Torres and David Busby for joining us tonight. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto.